from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
1 hour left for us in this year's WEEI Ness and Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon here at Fenway Park. So far, you have donated $1,455,135. We got about $100,000 to go this hour to get a $775,000 match from Rob Hale. So thank you so much. Curtis, you've been doing this for longer than I have. Courtney, Wiggy, we've been here. Courtney, you've been here 3 years.
9 years, Jimmy Fund, though.
With Nesson.
Yeah.
It's incredible to experience the generosity and what you guys do every year, year after year after year, when it comes to donating is incredible. You never know who you're going to see. You never know who is going to show up. And I want to thank our next guest, Dave Delancey, the owner of the Lobster Trap, who I understand you showed up and wrote a nice check today.
Thanks. I mean, yeah. You guys are really schlepping having me on after Ray Bork, but
well, food is very important to us.
Right. Just
to, Wiggy yeah. might react the same way he reacted to Ray Bork to your lobster roll at the at the Lobster Trap.
We make a pretty good lobster roll, Wiggy.
What do you think? What is the key to making a good lobster roll? This is an ongoing debate.
Just keep it simple.
Okay. Are you use warm, like warm or cold?
I like both. I don't discriminate.
Okay.
I know.
In the warm version, though, you got to toast the bun. Am I correct?
We toast the bun on both of them. We use like a brioche roll that we butter grill.
Okay.
Oh.
And you're either just taking fresh live cooked lobster meat, tossing it with a little bit of mayo, salt and pepper, some shaved iceberg lettuce, and putting it in that warm buttered roll, or just gently warming some fresh lobster meat with some butter.
It's an awesome
and toss it in that bowl. Either way, you can't go wrong.
I was recently at the Lobster Trap and tried everything on the menu. We had a good time before a radio station, our sister station, did their Bon Jovi event, and we had a great time. The food there is unbelievable.
Awesome. Thanks, man.
Yeah.
My wife is, she's going to go crazy. She absolutely loves seafood, and she loves lobster rolls, but she likes a warm lobster roll.
Oh, she does?
Yeah. She likes the warm.
Yeah. You're not a seafood person.
No, I don't eat seafood, but she likes to drizzle butter and stuff on it like that. So, yeah.
We make pretty good steak tips, too, Wiggy.
Yeah, that I eat.
Okay. All right. Wiggy's happy with the steak tips.
I eat those all day long.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate you coming by and donating, and thank you very much for that.
Hey, I'm happy to be here. This is an amazing cause. You guys do amazing work, and the Jimmy Fund, and just listen to the doctors talk over the last 2 days about the work that goes in, the research, and the funding that's needed to really get ahead of this. I mean, there isn't one person anywhere that you can talk to that hasn't been affected by cancer in some way. So, yeah. I mean, this is just really proud of you guys and what you guys are doing, and I mean, what, 22 years, and you guys have raised over $70 million? That's unbelievable.
Well, we can issue a challenge to all of the Cape Cod restaurants and have them step up.
I would love to challenge any of my friends on the Cape and the South Shore that own restaurants. If you're listening right now, call in, donate, whatever you can, because we've all been affected by cancer. So anything we can do to help.
Dave, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate you guys.
All right. Thank you very much. What? You sounded like you had something to say about lobster.
Oh, I mean, I'm always thinking about lobster. Warm lobster roll to me is chef's kiss.
With the butter.
With the butter.
Yeah, with the butter.
Yeah.
And Wiggy gets it, hold the lobster. He just gets a warm butter roll.
I mean, isn't that the best thing? The toasted or the grilled bun anyways?
Yeah.
There's nothing better. But Greg, also on this, just like, you know, you talk about 70 million. It's what separates this area. It's been the most depicted in cinema, most discussed. Everybody's like, what's Boston? Nobody can do the accent. Right. Nobody can figure us out.
Mm-hmm.
It's that people are a-holes, but they are there when you need them most. And what's better than that? Like, if you want to have someone that tells you you have something on your face, tells you that you got a stain on your shirt, and they're going to tell you you're not funny, but they're going to give you money or be there to babysit your kid or take care of your dog when you're dealing with something important. And that's why this region, more than any region in the country, is the most philanthropic. It's because people empathize with others, and that's what the Jimmy Fund's all about. It's business owners. It's people that have been successful, like Ray Bork, who could easily go down to, you know, go to the Cayman Islands and hang out.
Yeah.
They live in this winter. They're here now and with 93 traffic and potholes and bike lanes because they're a part of the community.
Well, and unfortunately, even the accent couldn't save the instigators.
The worst movie of all time.
Really? I haven't seen it.
I got to check it out.
I know. I can't wait to see it.
I got to check it out. But Curtis, you know what? You're like, you're spot on. And the one thing, like, people always be like, oh, we're massholes. Yeah, we are. And the other thing is that we're like, we always want to be like, you know, everybody always accepts the challenge. You know, Dave just threw out a, you know, challenge in his restaurants, and people listen. Our good friend, Nikki Verano's kid, Nico, was listening. Yeah. He donated.
Awesome.
Like, so people hear, and then once you challenge them, you know how massholes are. They're like, oh, wait a second.
Right.
You're not going to do it better than me. So I definitely think we're going to accomplish our goal for today.
Well, and we need, we need all of it. We need everybody. We have got to get 100, and it's a pretty clear mission this morning. We got to get $104,000 this hour, $104,912. So please give if you can. If you already gave and you decide to give again, then it's why you're the greatest radio audience ever assembled. So, Dave, thank you. Thanks to everybody who has given so far. We are, I guess we'll get to the news. Do you want to do the news now? You put so much work in the news.
Your show.
I have no idea where we are. Are we at the top of the hour?
We're at the top of the hour.
Oh, wow. But, all right.
Yeah,
what does Ken think? Where's Ken?
let's get some news. Let's get some news from Courtney, if we can.
It's time for...
You know, we've come so far since my inauguration.
The news.
On that day, I told you, as I stood in that winter, we were stood in a winter of peril and winter of possibilities. Peril and possibilities.
With your host, Courtney Cox.
That if you get gum, I don't know if you can freeze it or get... how you make it hard.
Sponsored by Northeast Men's Health, with 5 locations throughout New England and at northeastmenshealth.com.
I will be hearing that for months and years.
On WEEI.
What do you think?
Boston police are looking for an armed robber who they say robbed two elderly women while they were walking in Roxbury on Sunday night. This is a terrible story. 71-year-old and a 65-year-old woman. They're walking back from their niece's house when a man dressed in all black pointed a gun at them and demanded a gold necklace off of one and a necklace off the other. He took them. If you're watching on Twitch right now, I believe Mitch has the video for it. His description, he's described as a Hispanic male. This part is tough for him. He's described as between 5'3 and 5'4.
Oh, boy. We know you have an issue with short men.
No, I'm not. No issue. I think short men are very good looking.
Nope. I believe on this show you declared that they are unacceptable to you. You had an issue with
that short. Is just so far from the truth.
Short men,
can you remind me? What it,
no, I said they're all very handsome and usually very successful.
She said the Boston guys are on the shorter side.
Right. Yes. They're all on the shorter side.
That is correct.
Yes.
Yeah, that's very rude.
Okay. We can hear from one of the victims, Margarita, speaking to Beezy.
Then the guy put his hand on my shoulder and asked me, give me the chain. I screamed. Oh. He showed me the gun.
Damn.
Like terrible.
Rotten hell, you
awful.
Piece
yeah.
of crap.
Yeah.
That's just a low life right there.
Terrible.
Hopefully he'll get a little street justice.
I know it's probably not on the news. I saw some very. We followed this case very closely. Have you seen the Breaking Murdoch case news?
No.
literally just breaking, Alex Murdaugh could face new murder trial as South Carolina Supreme Court drops bombshell decision. Oof. Just now on the New York Post.
So what would the what is this a trial for?
Convicted killer Alex Murdaugh may soon be getting a new trial. The Supreme Court overruled the previous ruling that the jury in Murdaugh's case was tampered with. So I don't know what that means long term. It's literally just breaking, but that would be wild.
So are you saying that they are he is going to get a new trial?
Yes.
On those on the murder charges when it comes to his wife and his son?
Correct.
Really?
Ooh. That's what's it's literally it just popped up right
now.
So I'll let you know if I find anything more.
All right.
Police in Tewksbury are looking for a masked man who flashed a gun at a postal worker. Nightingale Lane was the last place that the man was seen. The postal worker immediately got into his car, drove off, was unharmed. But we can hear from one area resident, Sarah Steele, on BZ.
You know, they were putting on their tactical vests. They had the big guns. I'm not sure what they're called. And it was really scary. I didn't know what to think.
I feel like that's become one of the most dangerous jobs.
Yes.
All right.
When it comes to employment is the postal worker.
Is it because they're phishing? Isn't that what it's called?
Well, yeah,
they get the checks.
And they want the key. Like there's a universal key. But it's as it used to be that convenience store clerk was the most dangerous job in the U.S. Now it appears to be this.
They should have a fake master key that they just hand to
the robber. That is a good idea.
So he's like, all right, here's the master key. Give it to him. And it's like a fake key that doesn't do anything.
Right. Yeah, great idea. Yes. Reach out to the Postmaster General.
You would think that.
That's a good idea, would you?
It's a really good idea.
Well done, Wiggs.
Great idea.
This is a great story. Longboards, a local restaurant here in Massachusetts, heard about the story we talked about on Monday. The 12-year-old boy in Norwood who created the ice cream stand to raise money for his brother's local hockey team. The Board of Health shut him down.
Yeah.
This restaurant heard about it, so they created a specialty dessert on their menu.
Really?
Yep. 25% of all sales from the dessert are now going to this boy in Norwood to help out after his ice cream stand was shut down.
Something very important missing from this news story when it comes to the who, what, when, where. What is the dessert? You don't know?
It didn't say in the story.
Oh,
I can look it up.
No, we need to know what the dessert is.
Okay. Right. Well, we can hear from the owner of Longboards, Matthew Matera.
Yeah, we saw that article and we knew we needed to do something. You know, as a little family ourselves, we always try and set up stands. We're doing lemonade stands. We're making rocks and trying to sell those. So we appreciate small business.
All right.
Yeah. All right.
They're doing a half-baked cookie baked on a skillet with some ice cream, Hershey syrup, and caramel.
Okay.
I would buy that.
That sounds good.
How do you feel about the skillet cookies as a restaurant dessert?
I like it.
I love it.
I love I do like the skillet cookies.
That's shocking.
I'm a chocolate chip guy.
I may have tried them last night when I was out for dinner.
Oh, wow. You went to dinner last night?
I did.
Place?
Went to Grill 23, DMs and I, a double date with another couple. And they have the chocolate chip cookies at Grill 23, probably the best in the United States of America.
See, I always struggle with dessert. I can never.
Can I just interrupt this for a second? Do you feel strange that you go out to Grill 23 and it's like 70th birthday party, 50th wedding anniversary, Tuesday?
That's the life of a man.
It was when the other couple was available.
It's the life of a man in a city.
Yeah.
I struggle with dessert because I can never get past what I like. I like cannolis, so I can never get past that.
If there's more than one thing on there and you have a favorite, don't try something new. Are you like that with entrees too?
Certain ones, yes. Like if I go to Ocean Prime, I get the butter cake.
Yeah.
So if there is this warm sizzle plate cookie,
you're never going
to
try it.
I never get to it.
It's not fajitas.
Have you ever seen one of them?
It's a skillet. It's so good. They have it at Petula's.
I struggle when it comes to desserts.
Why don't you order the butter cake and then order the other one and try, you have a backup because you know you like the butter cake.
Because then I'll eat too much.
Well, you have a bite of each. Just one
portion control.
It's like breaking that half bagel.
Stop.
All right. You teased something earlier about a new product, which food-wise we might be interested in.
Yes, Coca-Cola is getting ready to release limited-time collaboration with Oreo cookies.
Oreo Coca-Cola.
Yeah, so they are going to come out with a soda and a cookie.
How do you feel about
awful?
Can I read the description? The description sounds pretty good.
Sorry.
Right. Comes out Monday, September 9th. The Oreo Coca-Cola sandwich cookie. The cookie blasts a distinctive red and black color blocked design featuring two unique base cakes. One classic chocolate that contains Coca-Cola syrup and one red-colored golden embossed with Coca-Cola designs stuffed with a smooth white color cream. Now, the base cake is also paired with a Coca-Cola taste and popping candies that brings a fizz sensation to every bite.
No.
Okay, you're confusing me. So they're doing a soda that has Oreo flavor.
Correct. Okay. Coca-Cola Oreo Zero Sugar.
Okay.
They can savor the smooth fusion of a refreshing Coca-Cola taste with flavorful hints inspired by Oreo cookies.
Okay. I thought it was a cookie.
There's a cookie and a soda.
Cookie, too.
And a soda.
I mean, the cookie might be okay. People drink a Coke float.
Oreo's meant to be the chocolate cookie or whatever it is, white in the middle, and then the other chocolate. When they do that stupid vanilla one, nobody
or
likes
it. Or the birthday cake one is delicious.
Or the Sour Patch Kid one stinks.
Oreo should stick with what they know.
But I think I'm not interested in Coca-Cola
Oreo
with the flavor of Oreo.
Oh, I am.
Why
you don't like an Oreo frap?
Right, but there's no Coca-Cola.
That doesn't matter.
Just basically Oreo ice cream.
But it's liquid form. Yeah.
Right. I mean, Oreo is the greatest gift the world's ever created. Oreo ice cream, goat.
Yeah, it is.
Coffee Oreo ice cream.
All right, Courtney, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
That is the news this morning. We are at Fenway Park, day number two of the WEEI Ness and Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon. So far, you've donated over $1.4 million. And it continues all day long. You get to hear some incredible, inspiring stories from those patients, those families that are going through it right now and fighting the good fight. And we're here to help strike out cancer. So we should get to Courtney and to what is trending right now as well.
Alex Cora joins Gresh and Fourier this afternoon at 1:30. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Ortho Laser. The Sox 2-for-2 after taking down the Rangers again last night. 9-4 was the final at Fenway. Cutter Crawford went 5 1/3, giving up 4 runs on 3 hits while striking out 4. Last one with the Rangers tonight, 6:10 first pitch with Tanner Houck getting the start. You can hang out with Joe Weil at 5:10 for the MassMutual pregame show, and then Joe Castiglione and Sean McDonough have the call on the Shaw's and Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network, right here on EEI, and as always on the Odyssey app. Can I just say, when it comes to wags, my favorite wag is in town for this series because her husband plays on the Rangers, Josh Smith's wife, Claire Smith. She is iconic, and
what
she's in town.
What makes her iconic?
She's an influencer, and she does a little day in the life of a baseball wag, and it's very interesting.
We never got your feedback on the wedding of Mrs. Pritchard.
Gorgeous,
over the
stunning
weekend on the Cape.
Classic. Her second dress was my first dress.
Really? Real problem, man.
Well, no. She looked gorgeous. She said that it was too simple to wear to the actual ceremony.
Oh,
so that was.
Wait a minute. What's his wife?
Emma McDonald.
Emma said that your wedding dress was too simple to wear to her actual ceremony.
She didn't say it to me. She said it in an interview with Elle Magazine.
Was shots fired?
No, I mean, she said the dress was gorgeous. My dress was very simple, and she looked gorgeous.
Was Brianna chicken fried there?
No.
We have an updated tote board, Greg.
Oh, okay.
We need $58,395 between now and 10 o'clock.
40 minutes.
To unlock the full match of the Hale family.
Okay, so that number right now is $1,526,652 you have donated. We got to get another $50,000 before the end of the show. I think we can do it.
I do too. I
think unbelievable.
An update on the report that Mayor Wu requested a sit down with Jaron Duran after his 2-game suspension was announced. Patriots Ledger reached out to her press office, who responded saying, "Thanks for reaching out about this to confirm. We don't think the reporter had a real source because that information was completely made up." Patriots joined practice with the Eagles yesterday. Drake May started 9 of 9 before things fell off for him. Some good news for Christian Barmore. He was there taking in practice. It was the first time anybody has seen him since he was diagnosed with blood clots. fought. And now it is time to put somebody in timeout.
You're in timeout. Let's find out who's getting a timeout this week. Brought to you by Timeout Market, Boston's best eating and drinking destination in the Fenway, all under one roof. TimeoutMarket.com.
I'll start. I'm putting the WNBA in timeout, in particular the Las Vegas Aces. If you missed my lead this morning, they're being sued right now for discrimination when it comes to a player that was announcing that she was pregnant. So,
yeah, I think that's a great one. I'm going to put the entire Patriots front office in timeout for not getting an offensive line that they can trust to put their rookie quarterback behind.
All right, I am putting in timeout, and I am boycotting 2028, the USA Men's Basketball Olympic Board
I mean,
of
this
Selection.
This is a boycott for the future. I
that
mean,
is
4 years from now. You're scheduling a boycott now for 4 years. I don't think you can do that.
If Steve
he just did it.
I think a boycott happens at the time that something's going on.
Then you can
protest future stuff.
You can.
If Steve Kerr comes back, I'm already out on the team. So they better, in order for them to bring me back in, there better be some massive changes. Grant Hill got to go and Steve Kerr.
All right, I'm going to put Noah Lyles in timeout.
All right.
For claiming that he had COVID so he didn't have to run in his second event and then being out at the club that night.
Well, being out at the club helps with COVID.
It does?
Yes.
Okay, I didn't know that. Right.
Well, that was brought to you by Ortho Laser New England. If joint pain has you sidelined, do what Christian Fourier did. Get back in the game without surgery at Ortho Laser New England. Online at ortholaserne.com. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. 74 degrees, sunny skies, gorgeous day here in Boston. Afternoon high in the low 80s.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The limited snaps in that preseason game is less, in your mind, an indictment on Drake May and what they think of him, and more on trying to keep him safe when it comes to struggling offensive line.
Yeah, I think it's two parts. I think Jacoby Brissett they see as a starter right now. And I think when you see that you can't decide that Jacoby's going to get limited reps because you want to develop Drake May, but then turn to Jacoby come September and say, all right, now it's your time to go be the starter. So I think they're trying to get Jacoby to play with the ones, but also work Drake May in there a little bit with the ones. Mayo has said it. Right now they don't see Drake May as the starter. So they're trying to develop a team and get a team ready to go that's going to have Jacoby at the helm, but also trying to develop the number three pick.
Well, it's Devin McCourty on the show earlier. Thanks. I appreciate Devin coming on for the Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon, and not good news for Wiggy or for Shime when it comes to, it appears from his perspective,
right?
They are sold on Jacoby Brissett being the starter.
Which makes no sense. Like, even if Jacoby Brissett's the starter, what are you, as an organization, if you're sitting there honestly looking at it, what is your expectations for wins?
Well, they've said that they're not many this season. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they've decided that they're going to be a very similar team to what they were last season, and they're okay with four wins or less.
I think you're right, because when Robert Kraft came on Friday,
yep,
he kept emphasizing, you know, I don't know what this season is going to look like. It right. wasn't the Robert Kraft that we heard the last couple of seasons that was guaranteeing, you know, we were going to be better, and this team was going to be something that you didn't see the year before, and we're getting back to the postseason. Like,
so are they doing that to give Mayo a year? Is that why Robert Kraft is doing that?
Well, where they are is not what they planned on. They gave Gerard Mayo the title of head coach in waiting entering last season. They brought Billy O'Brien back. They thought that Belichick was going to be here for at least one more year. They didn't think they were going to be 4-13.
Well, they made the decision to say goodbye to Bill Belichick.
Right. Well, right, because Bill Belichick failed and his, I mean, whatever, we don't have to relitigate
that.
Yeah,
but that decision was made before he even really failed. Wasn't that decision made based on all the reports, and I'm doing air quotes.
After Germany?
After Germany. With
well,
the
right.
Whole,
Germany was well after that. Germany, I'm talking about entering, so the off season when right. Bill was in New Orleans, now we know with this young lady,
right,
that he was there and they announced that they were bringing back Bill O'Brien and that they were retaining Gerard Mayo, precluding Gerard Mayo from taking the Carolina Panthers head coaching interview. Mm-hmm. They did all of those things, not expecting in one year that Gerard Mayo would be the head coach. They thought it would be 2 years for Bill to surpass Don Shula, that the team would be in a decent position, and that Bill would leave and they'd be in a good spot. Now they're ahead of schedule in terms of having Gerard Mayo there, and they're paying Bill $30 million to do nothing. So that impacted Robert Kraft's offseason where he didn't spend as much money.
So then why do it? What changed their mind?
What changed their mind about what?
About moving
Bill Belichick?
Off from Bill.
Because that Bill Belichick had they believed he was no longer engaged with the current NFL athlete, was not, his methods were not working on those players.
So it took them, what was Germany, October?
Yeah.
So let's call it 4-6 weeks for them to make.
That was halfway through the year. It was November.
So it was November?
Yeah, that was the basic brunch, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was November, okay. Like 10th.
So it was then in that point where they said, okay, we're moving on from Bill.
Right. They gave Bill, I mean, that was, what was it, 2020, 2021, 2022, 2023. That is 4 years without Tom Brady.
Uh-huh.
And they were nowhere near contention. The team wasn't going in the right direction. And they made a decision to move on. That's not what they expected to be the case. They thought Bill was going to do a good job.
So if Jacoby Brissett is, if that decision has been made and Devin McCourty is correct, and Drake May's not really going to have the opportunity to change a lot of minds for the rest of training camp. If he remains healthy, is he the starting quarterback for the entire season?
Jacoby Brissett?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my guess. I mean, for most of the season, at least.
Okay, so you're bringing Drake May along slowly.
Right.
Like, you're...
They're doing what, the Chiefs did, but, I don't agree with it.
Jackson. Jackson pointed out in our meeting the other day, he started he was an intern for me 20 years ago.
Right.
And he is now a call screener.
Right.
So you're bringing him along.
Right.
Bringing
slowly.
Him along slowly.
So when Jonathan's son takes over the team, Drake May will be ready to start.
So let me ask the room this question. What's the word I'm looking for? What's more of a deterrent for the team, or Drake May sitting a whole year?
Detrimental.
Detrimental for the team. Drake May sitting for the whole year, or Drake May playing this year? Like, what would be more beneficial? Excuse me. What would be more beneficial for Drake May?
Oh, I think he should absolutely play.
So I see. That's the question that I would ask anybody.
But it's crazy because we're not there, and everybody who's there, whether it's Christian Fourier, whether it's Devin McCourty, like they're all saying.
All the reporters,
they're all saying that Jacoby Brissett is ready to go, and that is the correct call. So, I mean,
no, but I'm asking. I would ask them honestly. What is more beneficial?
You will get to ask this question of Gerard Mayo on this show Monday at Gillette Stadium.
For Drake May.
Yes.
And I would think most people would say for him to play and get the experience. If everybody knows the team isn't going to be good,
right?
What's the purpose of just sitting him for a year?
I'm in full agreement. I don't understand it. And Shine brings it up, and he's right. If he gets hurt, then you have the Bengals approach, which is you get another top five pick. So you have Joe Burrow, you have Ja'Marr Chase, and you're off and running. And the Patriots, even with Drake May playing healthily, they probably are a, bottom tier team. So I just don't understand who benefits from it. I really don't.
If they're so worried about people getting hurt, then Jacoby Brissett will probably get hurt. And then what are you going to do?
Exactly.
Well, but even if Jacoby Brissett doesn't get hurt, so you're telling me this then. So what you're saying is, okay, next year we're all of a sudden beefing up our offensive line. We're going to go out free agency. We're going to draft a guy in the and the first round and the offensive lineman, and then we're going to shore up our offensive line. Great, I get that. I understand that point. But still, the experience or that Drake May would be able to get from playing this year is only going to make him better. Bryce Young down in Carolina, I think it helps him this year going into a second year as the starting quarterback. Even though it was bad for him last year, at least he kind of learns it. He knows what to expect. Bill Belichick said it. Learning, being out there, understanding how these big offensive linemen and defensive linemen move, finding
Bill O'Brien said it this morning on this show. Said that he doesn't think a player gets much from standing there with the coach.
And the other thing is, if you believe in the fairy godmother, which is the salary cap, then everybody who does tells me you have to win when the quarterback's on his rookie deal. So you just squandered the Mac Jones rookie deal. Now you're sitting here. At least this way, you get, just like with Bryce Young and the Panthers, you get a full year of Drake May, even call it 13 games, whatever. Then he's entering camp with an understanding of the pace of the NFL. You enter next offseason, no longer having to pay Bill Belichick. You can reallocate that $30 million into free agents, whatever, bolster the team. So you have Drake May entering year two,
right,
ready to go.
That's what Matt Ryan said. Matt Ryan said you're basically getting him to play for free.
That's what I've been saying the whole time. And no one buys this whole salary cap.
I know.
Can we stop with that?
Well,
I'd rather eat a bullet than have to talk about a salary cap.
Well, we don't want that.
But it's annoying, though. Like, no one believes it.
I know. I thought the 49ers was the greatest way to ever end it. And Gresh was like, well, they have Brock Purdy. I'm like, okay.
And so my concern is that when you look at this Patriots team this season, my expectations are not high on this team. I don't know what Jalen Hurts is watching every day in practice. Yeah, I think their defense is going to be good. But I'm somewhere around 4, 5, maybe 6 wins if you're lucky.
Not with this offensive line. Not the way they look now.
Right, but what's the difference between 6 wins and 3 wins? It really makes no difference to me, right? My expectations are not very high. The only thing I care about is getting Drake May as many possible reps for him to learn and him to get better. So then next year, when he comes into a second year, and maybe you put a better offensive lineman around him, maybe you do draft an offensive lineman and you get another free agent wide receiver. Yeah.
Color me taken aback that Devin McCourty said that Jacoby Brissett is your starter. So,
yeah. But Courtney's right. The people that are closest to it are all saying the same thing. Yeah. So
I think that's just being cool with Mayo.
That's fine, maybe.
We love Mayo, and we don't want to say it's a bad decision for Mayo to do.
This Monday, Mayo Mondays begin on this radio show, so we will be at Gillette Stadium with Jerod Mayo on Monday and get all those questions.
You think he answers?
What?
Think he answers?
I think he answers. He's... He's very open.
He was very open. And then once he said burn some cash, I'm worried that he's going to reel it in a bit.
We got 20 minutes left and a little bit of money to raise in order to get to a $775,000 match from Rob Hale. I think we can get a little bit closer because our friend Michael from Timeout Market Boston is on the phone. And I'm guessing, Michael, hello, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How we doing?
How you doing? You have a little money to donate, I heard.
Yeah, so we were, here at Time Out, we're always looking to embrace our community and give back to the community. And, Dana-Farber being a neighbor of ours here in the Fenway, we had an event. We did a Taste of the Market, and we called it the Taste of Jimmy. And we were fortunate enough to raise $26,000.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's amazing.
That's awesome.
And I'm told that that $26,000 is going to your tote board.
Oh, that's fantastic. All right,
good.
Great job.
So that will get us closer. We're probably $15,000 away from hitting that. So we'll get an update when we come back.
Okay.
Michael, that's unbelievable.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you very much. Wiggy is still dreaming nightly of the sandwich, the sandwich from Michael Schlaus. What's it called?
The Emperor. Yes.
The Emperor.
I had to make my way back down there last night.
Right down the street. You could get one on the way home.
That's it, right?
You could, huh?
But listen, right. Guys, I want to tell you, so everybody in your audience likes to go out.
Yeah.
And I encourage them, look in your community to an event that's going to do good. You're going out, you're spending money, you're having a good time, whether it's a basic brunch for the foundation, whether it's a Taste of Jimmy for the Dana Farber. Really, people get out there and give to your community while you're going to be out spending money anyways.
Yeah.
You know, it's really a great way to give back.
All right. Well, thanks for what you do. Timeout Market Boston. We appreciate Michael. Thanks for this. That goes a long way toward getting
us there.
Thanks, guys. All right.
Good luck.
All right. It is our final day here at Fenway. We will wrap all of that up and see. We'll get a new number on the tote board when we come right back. All right, as we speak, a new donation total going right up on the tote board here at Fenway Park, and you did it. You made it. We are now officially at, a round of applause. Woo-hoo!
Good job, Ken.
You have donated $1,585,764 so far during a day and a morning of this year's WEEI Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon. That means that this show can now activate that match from Rob Hill. So you have donated over $775,000.
Wow.
Two mornings. That's awesome. Great
goosebumps.
News. Yeah. So that would put us at my math, not my strong suit, but about somewhere around $2.3 million.
Yeah, you bring
donated.
The two up.
You carry it.
Yeah.
Carry the one.
And speaking of carrying it, I would be remiss if I didn't mention Suzanne Fountain, who has been with the Dana-Farber and the Jimmy Fund as the director of the Jimmy Fund for over 20 years. She has been a part of every single one of these radio telethons, and she has been a guiding force from Jason Wolf to Joe Zarbano to Ken Laird, and a very staunch proponent of the radio station and a massive force for good inside the Jimmy Fund. So want to thank Suzanne Fountain for all that she's done for this and for all the amazing people that have been positively impacted by what she has meant and stood for.
Amazing. And we want to thank every single person who came by over the last couple of days with us and told their story, whether their story is their fight against cancer, their family's fight against cancer, the doctors, the nurses, the researchers who are going at it every single day trying to strike out cancer. And I want to also thank everybody who joined us over the last couple of days on this show, whether it was Ray Bork or Devin McCourty or Bill O'Brien or David Ortiz or Charlie Baker or I guess Charlie Baker was Friday, but everybody who's joined us and has shared their stories of being involved with this over the last 22 years, it's pretty incredible.
Yeah. It's amazing. And my highlight, outside of obviously, raising money for the best cause, was seeing Fanboy Wiggy.
Yeah.
Not since the Cam Newton interview have I seen Wiggy genuflect in the presence of somebody like he did with Ray Bork. That was awesome.
DC would be so proud of you that it was a hockey guy that really brought you to your knees.
Well, it's Ray Bork. I mean, he's a hockey god. That's what we should call
him. Yes.
We're still auctioning those three spots off to Ken's dismay.
Where's
so,
Ken?
If you want to golf with us at Salem Country Club, then you can call Jackson. You got 5 minutes left to do that.
You know what I thought that was actually my highlight was seeing Ken actually run something up the flagpole live.
Yes. We got to thank Ken. We got to thank Mike Thomas. We got to thank Carolyn, our entire marketing team, our engineers, Griff and Doug and Amen Corner and the whole entire social media team here. I certainly want to thank our account executives who go out and get our partners involved and help us raise money in that way. Everybody at the radio station who has worked on this for months and done an incredible job once again this year. It's pretty amazing.
And you did a great job.
Oh, thank you, Courtney.
Yep.
Appreciate
and
that.
The people that donate, like, it's just every year you start this process and you see $15,000, and you're just like, how are people going to do this again?
Yeah.
And next year I have an idea. We always do this, idea guy. I want to have a goal for number of actual individual donors
okay.
for our 2 days, because I just would love to see the number of people that give $25, yeah, that text the $5 donation. It's unbelievable.
I bet it's a lot of people.
Every little bit makes a difference. Yep. And keep that in mind today as you are listening and thinking about what you can give. Every little bit matters. So our friend Walshy yesterday on a text was talking about building a wall. And about the big donations, Rob Hill and the Bork Family Foundation and others being the bricks, and then the small donations being the mortar.
Yes.
But the mortar being more important at times when it comes to keeping that wall up. So I think of it that way, and you'll have the opportunity to hear some incredible stories all day long here today. Nick Pavetta this afternoon at
1:30.
Nicky Pete.
All right, coming up. So Gresh and Foyer are next.
And you can listen to Gresh at www.odyssey.com.
That's it for us. You guys are incredible. Thank you so much for giving. We appreciate it. We're back in the studio tomorrow morning at 6 from Fenway Park. That's it for us. Day number 2 of the WEEI Nesson Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon. Andy Gresh and Christian Fourier coming up next. All right, as we speak, a new donation total going right up on the tote board here at Fenway Park, and you did it. You made it. We are now officially at, round of applause.
Woo-hoo! Good job, Ken.
You have donated $1,585,764 so far during a day and a morning of this year's WEEI Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon. That means that this show can now activate that match from Rob Hill. So you have donated over $775,000.
Wow.
Two mornings. That's awesome. Great
goosebumps.
News. Yeah. So that would put us at my math, not my strong suit, but about somewhere around $2.3 million.
Yeah, you bring the two up.
You carry it. Carry the one.
And speaking of carrying it, I would be remiss if I didn't mention Suzanne Fountain, who has been with the Dana-Farber and the Jimmy Fund as the director of the Jimmy Fund for over 20 years. She has been a part of every single one of these radio telethons, and she has been a guiding force from Jason Wolf to Joe Zarbano to Ken Laird, and a very staunch proponent of the radio station and a massive force for good inside the Jimmy Fund. So want to thank Suzanne Fountain for all that she's done for this and for all the amazing people that have been positively impacted by what she has meant and stood for.
Amazing. And we want to thank every single person who came by over the last couple of days with us and told their story, whether their story is their fight against cancer, their family's fight against cancer, the doctors, the nurses, the researchers who are going at it every single day trying to strike out cancer. And I want to also thank everybody who joined us over the last couple of days on this show, whether it was Ray Bork or Devin McCourty or Bill O'Brien or David Ortiz or Charlie Baker Charlie Baker was Friday, but everybody who's joined us and has shared their stories of being involved with this over the last 22 years. It's pretty incredible.
It's amazing. And my highlight, outside of obviously, raising money for the best cause, was seeing Fanboy Wiggy.
Yeah.
Not since the Cam Newton interview have I seen Wiggy genuflect in the presence of somebody like he did with Ray Bork. That was awesome.
DC would be so proud of you that it was a hockey guy that really brought you to your knees.
Well, it's Ray Bork. I mean, he's he's a hockey god. That's what we should call
him. Yes.
We're still auctioning those three spots off to Ken's dismay.
Where's Ken?
If you want to golf with us at Salem Country Club, then you can call Jackson. You got 5 minutes left to do that.
You know what I thought that was actually my highlight was seeing Ken actually run something up the flagpole in live.
Yes. We got to thank Ken. We got to thank Mike Thomas. We got to thank Carolyn, our entire marketing team, our engineers, Griff and Doug and Amen Corner and the whole entire social media team here. I certainly want to thank the our account executives who go out and get our partners involved and help us raise money in that way. Everybody at the radio station who has worked on this for months and done an incredible job once again this year. It's pretty amazing.
And you did a great job.
Oh, thank you, Courtney. Yep. Appreciate
and that. The people that donate, it's just every year you start this process. and you see $15,000, and you're just like, how are people going to do this again?
Yeah.
And next year I have an idea. We always do this, idea guy. I want to have a goal for number of actual individual donors
okay.
for our 2 days, because okay. I just would love to see the number of people that give $25
yeah.
that text the $5 donation. It's unbelievable.
I bet it's a lot of people.
Every little bit makes a difference.
Yep.
And keep that in mind today as you are listening and thinking about what you can give. Every little bit matters. So our friend Walshy yesterday on a text was talking about building a wall, and about the big donations, Rob Hill and the Bork Family Foundation and others being the bricks, and then the small donations being the mortar.
Yes.
But the mortar being more important at times when it comes to keeping that wall up. So I think of it that way, and you'll have the opportunity to hear some incredible stories all day long here today. Nick Pavetta this afternoon at
1:30.
Nikki P.
All right, coming up. So Gresh and Foyer are next.
And you can listen to Gresh at www.odyssey.com.
That's it for us. You guys are incredible. Thank you so much for giving. We appreciate it. We're back in the studio tomorrow morning at 6 from Fenway Park. That's it for us. Day number 2 of the WEEI Nesson Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon. Andy Gresh and Christian Fourier coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's not just about watching the game, it's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it, it's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.